I'm going to start off by quoting Ronnie. He made the comment today that ties in. It's a great segue, Ron, into what I was studying. He said, "Do you see what I'm saying?" Now, I'm not sure if that's a mixed metaphor or what. See what I'm saying. Or should he have said, "Do you hear what I'm saying?" And so that is actually the topic of today. And we're going to turn to Matthew 11:15. And I'm not making fun of you, Ron. I love your teaching, and I love the sayings and cliches and the figures of speech that you use. I just can't do it with a southern accent, that's all. But Matthew 11:15, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So what is that? What is the context here? We know that the Lord is actually speaking about John the Baptist as being Elias, who was the one that was going to pave the way, if you will, for the Christ. And so why does the Lord use this phrase? Why does he say, "Do you have ears to hear? Let them hear." And he actually uses this multiple times, which is when I, doing my daily devotions, came across this and began to see that he actually uses this frequently. And it's kind of an admonition, kind of a rebuke in some cases. But is this just a figure of speech? Is this some type of rebuke on his part to, you know, warn people, look, you better listen? I mean, we might say today, "Do you get it? Can you hear me? Do you understand?" We may use different phrases to say the same thing. So let's see how many times this is used and who uses it, what the context is, and maybe we can discern a little more from it. And maybe this then becomes an admonition to us to be able to make sure we understand, make sure we hear with our ears. We find this phrase, "ears to hear," first in Deuteronomy 29:4. And don't know if anybody's posting today. I did send, oh, thanks, Chip. Send it out last night, so glad that you got it. Deuteronomy 29:4. "Yet the Lord has given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day." Now, this is Moses speaking. And if we actually go back to verse 2 and read through verse 4, it says, "And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and to all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day." And so we have the word "ear" here in the Hebrew. It actually means to hear or to have an ear. And it is used multiple times specifically to point out an ear is for specifically for hearing. And notice that Moses is telling these individuals that have been in the wilderness with him that they were there, that they saw with their own eyes all the miracles. It's a first-person experience. There used to be a book called We Were There, and it was a series of historical events, primarily U.S. history. And, I mean, I remember it was probably the first book that I can remember reading, so it was obviously very, very easy to read first or second grade. It started with Bunker Hill, and we were there with Paul Revere, and we were there at Pearl Harbor, and we were there, and it just goes on and on through different events in history. For those of us who weren't there, we did not see with our eyes. We did not hear the different miracles that were there. Moses is reminding them, and if they have ears to hear, they would understand. But he's telling them that you don't. You are not perceiving, in spite of the fact that your eyes saw it. And so it is, in fact, a bit of an admonition. And the word hear, H-E-A-R versus H-E-R-E, the word hear is the word shama, Hebrew shama. And it has to do with paying attention, having the obedience to be attentive, to hear intelligently, to discern, and to give ear to. To completely perceive and to be witness of. And so we realize here that the word hear is just not one of the five senses. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond just the sound that goes into one ear and for some people out the other. But instead, it really has to do with attentively discerning and understanding. And that's why saying ears to hear, we have ears. Hearing is one of the five senses, but do we totally perceive the gravity of what's just been said? So let's turn to Judges 9:3. Judges 9:3 says, "And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem, all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother." So here we have just the word ears, and someone speaking, and it has to do with an individual that is born of a mistress or concubine of his father, but there are many, many other brethren, and they completely ostracize him. They completely push him out, and yet when he goes out, he becomes a raider. He becomes a bit of a strong military-minded individual, and has a following. And so now the brothers come to him and say, "Look, we know who you are. We want you to lead us now because we need someone to free us from the tyranny of those who are ruling over us. And therefore, we will follow you." And so the ears here are just that. It's the ability to hear. In 1 Samuel 3:11, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Now, I don't know if you've ever had a tingling in your ear. I'm not talking about tinnitus, which can be annoying for those of you who have it. There's an old expression that, where your ear's tingling, meaning that we were talking about you. And you couldn't hear us, but we were talking about you, and you had some sixth sense that we were talking about you. And here is Samuel's talking about something that's going to happen, and that everyone that will hear it will respond to it in a different way. Their ears will tingle. Again, it goes beyond just hearing. In 2 Samuel 7:22, it says, "Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. So here, they're talking about the only God, and that their ears have heard about this God, and that they therefore know how great he is, that there's none other like him. In fact, there is no other God. And you know, you have to understand that at the time Samuel was speaking, there was a lot of idolatry. The nations had many gods. They were pagan gods that were made by hand. And he's admonishing people that, look, you've heard about what this God has done. There is no other God but him. He goes on in 2 Samuel 22:7, it says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Now, we know that we were made in the image of God. We have ears. Obviously, he does too. But it's interesting that God hears us. He hears our cry. He hears our supplications. He hears our prayers. He hears when we are in distress. He hears when we call out to him and thank him for the wonderful blessings that he's given us. So God does hear, and God is hopeful that we hear his word. And so it's not something that is just passed on from one generation to another. It is something that we can actually see because it was written down for us. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 17:20. It says, Lord, there is none like thee. Well, we just read that. Neither is there any God besides thee. We just read that. According to all that we have heard with our ears. So again, we have the same thing repeated, the same phraseology, if you will, that we hear with our ears. We don't hear with our eyes. We don't hear with our other senses, our taste, our touch. We hear with our ears. Psalms 44 is a great verse for us. It says in verse 1, 44:1, we have heard with our ears, same phrase, O God, our fathers have told us, aha, so the fathers are passing it from one generation to another. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days and the times of old. So here's an admonishment. One generation hears it from the other that may have seen it themselves, may have heard what happened themselves. First person in that time. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that we need to be able to tell others of the Lord, tell others what the Lord has meant to us, tell others from one generation to another the miracles that God has done. You know, he's not parting the Red Sea that we can see, but he's still doing miracles. And for those of you who have heard this before, I'll say it again. It's important for us to write these miracles down. Kathleen has made a miracle jar. It used to be the sugar jar that held all of our sugar. And now that we're no longer eating a lot of sugar, we have an empty jar. And so she and I are, as we think about things that we're thankful for, things that are almost miraculous, if you will, things that we would have never thought could happen that do happen, we're writing them down and putting them in our jar of miracles. And at the end of the year, we'll pull that jar out and remind ourselves of the things that have happened throughout the year. But importantly, for those who are there when we read them, they will hear about how the Lord has impacted our lives. In Psalm 130, verse 2, it says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. You know, again, the Lord does hear. He doesn't need to be reminded. We're being thankful that he is attentive. And just because he's attentive and hears us doesn't mean he's going to do anything about it right now. He may say, well, if I did what you want right now, it would be harmful to you in the future. Therefore, I do hear you, but I'm not going to do anything about it right now. So he does have ears. Proverbs 23:12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Well, where does knowledge come from? Knowledge comes from the Word. And where did the Word come from? It came from God. In fact, the Word was God and became flesh. And we know that that was Christ. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 26:11. So sorry, Chip, I'm skipping a verse here that I noted. Jeremiah 26:11. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against the city, as he hath heard, as ye have heard with your ears. So the priests were talking about Jeremiah, who was saying that the city was going to be destroyed, Jerusalem, by the Babylonians, and that they needed to listen to him and change their ways. They did not, and therefore, what did the priests want to do? What did the prophets want to do? They wanted to kill him because he said things that they did not want to happen. They didn't believe were going to happen because obviously that would mean that they were wrong. And obviously they couldn't possibly be wrong. And that's a lot like a lot of people, myself included, that, we can hear from other people, and we may know that they're right, but we hate that they're right, and we don't want them to be right, and therefore, we want to stifle what they're saying. So in this extent, they actually wanted to kill him. In Ezekiel 12:2, it says, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear, for they are a rebellious house. Boy, isn't that an admonition? He is saying, look, you have eyes, but you're not seeing what I'm saying. Or at least why you're not hearing what I'm saying, and you're not seeing or understanding the point that I'm trying to make, because you're rebellious. How many times have we told our children something that they should do or shouldn't do that they have not obeyed? And why didn't they obey? Because they wanted their way. It was all about them. And, God wants us to obey. Even when it's something small, even when it's something that seems to be trivial, he wants us to obey because it's to our health. Even if we don't understand it, he wants us to obey. We're going to go down to Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 4. Again, I'm skipping here. It says, And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall, that I shall show thee. For the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither? Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. So, Ezekiel is telling look, you need to hear. You've got ears. You need to hear. But notice that he says you have to set thine heart upon them and the things that I'll show thee. So, they're seeing with their eyes, they're hearing with their ears, but their heart has to perceive. And it's interesting to me that the word heart has a T at the end of hear. And so they are hearing with their heart. That may not have anything to do with the Lord's use of that word, but it's just interesting to me to see that. But Ezekiel was told to tell people, to tell Israel what he saw, and that he was to declare what he saw. And aren't we supposed to do the same? I'm asking the question. Aren't we to tell the next generation what we see? Because not everybody sees the secret. Not everybody understands. Even though they hear it with their ears, they don't perceive the mystery, which is something that we then have to declare. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. It says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. Pulling away the shoulder, it's a figure of speech. It's basically shrugging. You know, have you ever told your kids something and they kind of shrug their shoulders? You ask them a question, you know, why didn't you do what I said? And they just kind of shrug their shoulders. They look at you with that expression and they say, whatever. So they refuse to hearken to what we've told them. It goes on to say, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. So what was Zechariah talking about? The context here is that he was providing prophecy that they would be scattered amongst the nations. And they stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want it to be true. They didn't want to obey and change their ways. So they stopped their ears. I mean, you can actually see them putting their hand over their ears and shaking their head. There are times when I jokingly, when someone says something that's TMI, too much information, I'll put my hands over my ears and go, no, 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 because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what they're talking about. It's kind of a joke, if you will, but basically I'm stopping my ears to hear what they've said. But they refuse to hearken. You know, notice the disobedience again. It meant that they would have to change their ways, and they weren't willing, so they stopped their ears. Now let's go back to where we started. We started in Matthew 11:15, and in 11:15, we're obviously moving from Old Testament to New Testament, from Hebrew to Greek and Aramaic, and yet we still have the same expression. Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, pretty much everybody's got ears. So this is in fact a figure of speech. And he says, because you've got ears, you need to listen. You get it? And if we read the context of this, in Matthew 11:11, it starts off with, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. I'm sorry. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's basically saying, listen up. Do you get it? Do you understand? John is the one that crieth out in the wilderness. John is the one that paves the way for the Christ. Do you get it? It is a fulfillment of prophecy. The word ear here is the word os, and it is a primary word. It is the physical ear itself, and it is used hundreds of times throughout the New Testament, and it is always the ear. And the word hear is the Greek word akou, and It also is a primary verb. It has to do with to give audience, to hear, to be reported, and to understand. And so it's not just hearing, it's understanding. Hearing is one of the five senses, right? But to understand is when we have the sense to not just listen, but to do something about it, to fully perceive the meaning behind what's being said. Now, this phrase the Lord uses multiple times in Matthew 13:9. He says it again, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." In Matthew 13:43, he says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So he continues to use this phrase, and he frequently does it when he's talking about a parable. And in Mark 4:9, he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." It goes on in verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." So he's given a parable, and he says at the end of it, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." You see that this is an admonition of them to do something about what they hear, to fully understand what he is saying and take it to heart so that they might be converted. Not just hearing, but understanding fully. In Mark 4:23, he says it again, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." In 7:16, "If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear." These are always repeated after parables. And again, why did he speak in parables? Because the people would not understand, which is why he then translated those parables for those 12 that were with him, so that they would fully understand. And often they still didn't understand, but after he was crucified and resurrected, they began to understand what he had said previously. Even though they heard him at the time, they didn't fully perceive what was going to happen. Let's take a look at Luke 8, verse 8, and he's telling about the parable. And this is the sower and the seed. And he says, "And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Basically, he's saying that the seed was sown and it fell on hard ground. It fell on amongst the thorns. It fell where the birds were able to eat it and take it away, and it never grew. It fell then on good ground, and that's what he's telling them. What I'm telling you, these words, don't just hear it, but fully understand it. Let it soak in and grow within you. So the parable is about the words that he's speaking, the words not only of salvation, but beyond that, to get them to repent and understand that the kingdom is present, is coming. It is soon, as Ron told us earlier. And so we look at Luke chapter 14, verse 35. It says, "It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill." He's talking about salt. And then when the salt loses its flavor, it is thrown out. It is put in the trash dump. says, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's talking about the fact that the word is like salt. And they are to be the salt to let other people know about the word. But when the word has no impact any longer, then what good is it? Man has thrown out his words. They have not understood the value, the flavor that is there with the salt. And I'll conclude for today in Luke 16. I'm going to read verses 29 through 31. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead and they repent, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What's the context of this? This is about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is a poor man who just wants the scraps under the rich man's table. He is sickly and dies, and so does the rich man. The rich man then, who is perceived to be in Hades, says, God, let Lazarus come down and quench my thirst. And the Lord tells him, look, can't send him down there, all right? There is a separation between you and here, and one can't go either direction. And he says, oh, but please just send him to my brethren that they might know what is waiting for them if they continue the life that they are living, the life that I lived. But instead, they need to be like Lazarus. And the Lord says, look, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man says, no. If one came from the dead, they would then repent. They would listen. If a ghost came from them from the dead, they would hear the dead person. They may not hear the Moses and the prophets, but they'd hear from a dead person, from a ghost. And he says, look, if they don't hear from Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. Neither will they understand. So it's not just about hearing. It's about being persuaded to repent and to change their ways. And he says, even though one rose from the dead. Well, isn't that exactly what Christ did? He rose from the dead. He told them the path to life is believing on him. And yet people today still do not hear, even though they've got ears. They still don't understand the gravity in John when he says, those that believe have life. Those that believe not basically are condemned already because they condemned themselves by not believing. They heard, but they did not believe. They did not understand. In the next time I'm going to address this group on Sunday will be at the conference, but and I believe that that time frame will be different. It will be June 9th, I believe, or June 10th, and maybe it'll be June 11th. June 11th, I think. And I will not continue this, but I will continue the following month talking about ears to hear, but taking it further and being able to better understand the admonition that the Lord continually used for those that heard him, because while they heard him, they didn't understand. And they didn't understand because their heart, their attitude was not in the right place. And that's important for us. But it's also important for us that do understand to be able to tell others what we know of the scripture. We can't just take this in because we hear it or we see it in written form, but we need to live it so that others see and hear and are persuaded to change their ways to see the hope that is within us. Let's go ahead and close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you give us your word, and we do want to have ears to hear. We do want to speak to others that they may hear, that they may know who you are, that they may know the importance of believing in Christ Jesus as our Lord, God, and Savior, for he died for us, each and every one of us. Lord, we know that we are chosen beforehand because you knew that we would hear, because you knew that we would in turn speak to others that they might hear too. Guide us as we do talk to others. Give us that wisdom that will give us the right words to speak at the right time in the ears of others, that they may understand and that they too might have the same hope. We are grateful, Lord, for your love. We are grateful for your continual blessing in our lives. And thank you for the mothers that are out there that did not end their pregnancies because the blessing that came to them in the child, in the children that were born, ourselves included. What a blessing each of these children are, Lord. We are thankful for our mothers. We are thankful that they conceived us and allowed us to breathe, allowed us to go forward, that we might speak your word, Lord. We praise you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.